All right, you're on the Armstrong Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
Thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show. We are very appreciative for your continuing support. I also want to draw your guys' attention to something real quick, kind of a part of the mission that we are doing right now. And I'm going to give you the website here. Just one second. Make sure that this freaking website is correct. It is not correct. Damn it. Thanks to our patrons. Oh, okay, connect.org. That's what it is. Thanks to our patrons, we're able to do so much, you know, free training for schools. I use the word free very loosely here, but we're able to give free training to schools and, you know, certain organizations that are all nonprofit. Not to say that schools are nonprofit, but we do provide it to schools. And not because I care about schools or I give a fuck about the government, but because I care about children and I don't want them to die because of, you know, lack of capability of trauma medicine within that schooling environment. And we'll provide it to, you know, certain nonprofit organizations that benefit the community. There's another organization I want to draw your guys' attention to, and I would really, really, really encourage you to go and donate a couple bucks to this organization. It's a 501c3, it's fully nonprofit. I'm familiar with the guy who, you know, runs it, and we've been supporting him pretty much since he started, and I would like to draw your attention to this. I don't care if you donate 20 bucks or 200 or 1,000. I don't care. Donate $5. This guy could use it. He provides the trauma kits to the school. So we provide the training, and then we're working with him more now to help provide some of kits to some of the schools that we are teaching at. And the organization is called Kit in Every Classroom. If you're on Instagram, you can find him under Kit in Every Classroom. And his website is K-I-N-E-C, Kit in Every Classroom. .org. So Kinec, KINEC.org. You can go straight there. So far, he's placed over 330 kits in school classrooms, and you can donate right there on the front page. He gets all of his kits built for him by North American Rescue and is then able to provide them to schools along with some training when he couples up with other organizations that can do that. We're trying to do more work with him to get some of the schools that we're training to get these kits in with there. So if it's something that you feel like you can be a part of, please do so. And thank you again for being a great patron that allows us to do those kind of things in our communities. We have two alumni events coming up I want to draw your attention to or remind you about. August 9th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at Premier Martial Arts in Scottsdale. We're going to be having our Combatives alumni event. So if you're an alumni of any program you've ever taken with independence training, you can come to the event totally free of charge. And we're just going to be working through some basic combatives concepts and also raising people's awareness to the combatives programs that we actually teach. September 20th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. here at our office in Tempe, we're going to have our digital privacy class brought to you by Privacy Mike. Who's going to be teaching a really well-fleshed out, really well-thought-out, applicable and practical course on digital security. And even if you take 10% of what he says and apply it, it'll help you to kind of lock down your digital footprint. On to some news. A couple things I want to talk about. Probably the first thing I want to talk about is there's two names that I want to say, and I might butcher these names because I'm not always great with names. But the first one is going to be... Standby. Elisha Dickin, who some of you guys are familiar with, is the shooter who stopped the shit bag in the mall shooting where he was able to take a 40-yard shots. He scored 80% hit ratio. He scored 8 hits out of 10 rounds fired from 40 yards. Guy is a fucking baller. And the other guy is Nicholas Bostic, who ran into a burning building to save several children's lives. Elisha Dickin and Nicholas Bostic. I don't give a fuck about anyone else's name. These are the people that we ought to fucking build statues to. These are the people you need to teach your children about. These are the people you need to memorialize. These are the people that need to be put up on the front page of the newspaper. I don't give a fuck about politicians. I don't give a fuck about all these shitheaded doctors. I don't give a rat's ass about what stupid-ass military leader is doing, whatever stupid-ass thing they're doing that's costing young men and women their lives. These are the kinds of people we ought to be concerned about. These are the kind of people we should be praising. That's it. Teach your people about these people. They're great men. They did great things. within their lives, I'm sure they're imperfect. I'm sure one of them has a drug charge and another one has too many speeding tickets. And maybe one of them said, I hate XYZ racist slur one time on social media. I don't give a shit. When the moment was called, they were there to answer. In the military, speaking of shitheaded, stupid things that are happening, over 100 Marines have been discharged for refusing the COVID vaccine as thousands more face removal.
How much did you say that the Army was kicking out?
The Marines is over 2,700.
Yeah, but wasn't the Army something astronomical?
Being the Army and having more personnel, they are phenomenally astronomical. 1,300 regular soldiers have already been separated for refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And it is possible that it could be up to I'm looking at there's 13,000 Army National Guard and 7,000 reserve soldiers who have also faced it. So in total, there's a little over 20,000 soldiers who will likely be facing discharge because they're not going to get the vaccine. To which I say, hey, man, you join the military, you have to get whatever they tell you to get. However, if you don't want to get it, you should be allowed to leave without a dishonorable discharge.
Yeah.
That is not a dishonorable thing to say, I don't want this thing in my body. No thanks. It would be no different if they were like, hey, we're going to start implanting, you know, service members with chips, which I'm sure is coming soon in the future. Yeah. Some soldiers are going to be like, okay, boss, give it to me. And they're just going to fucking take it because they're stupid. That's why the military is getting rid of all these people who are free thinkers.
Yeah.
That's why they just lowered the Army specifically and just lowered all their entries. That's why they're now going to start doing things like allowing, you know, alcohol in barracks, et cetera, et cetera. They want the stupid people. They need the stupid people. We've all made jokes about, oh, stupid Marines, a stupid Army guy, blah, blah, blah. Here's the fact, man. Most of them aren't stupid.
Yeah.
They're just regular people who want to go do this other job. Maybe some of it's serve their country. Some of it's get college money. Some of it's they just want a regular job. Some of it's, you know, I'm going to go fucking do cool shit with cool expensive stuff. Some of it's they want to further a civilian career, whatever it may be. It's still a thoughtful process. Now they're literally just lowering the bar so far. They need people who will follow orders. And at the same time, they're also trying to implement weapons that use non-standard cartridges that regular civilians don't have access to. Come on, man. Yeah. Is anyone else seeing this? Why would they want people who follow orders blindly and also shoot weapons that we don't have access to?
Yeah.
With rounds we don't have access to. I'm sure it's all good. I'm sure it's all for the common good. Yeah. Sure, it's all good stuff. So anyways, you got that happening. Not going to go too much more deep in the news. I do have some other good news stories I'm going to be sharing with you guys next week, but we're on kind of a time crunch. I apologize for this week. So I'm going to kind of get right into things. Redwire gear moment. Dry practice new concepts. Perfect reps will be needed. You need at least 1,000 reps before something can become consciously competent. You need at least 3,000 reps before something can become part of reflexive response, or what some people refer to as muscle memory. And on average, you're going to need somewhere between that and 10,000 reps until it is perfect reflexive response. So if you're learning a new concept, this is the way I often explain it to people. It's like yesterday, we were teaching arm structural movement over at TACUB, which is a phenomenal training facility. I love training there. And there's these guys going like, oh, man, I like this new technique, but I'm really struggling with it under pressure. Because, you know, we're like making people learn and apply new techniques while we're also making them get shot at in the dark, you know, two-way ranges. They're trying to apply tactics while they're getting shot at. Like, it's nuts, right? But we're trying to compress about, you know, 5 weeks worth of training into 5 days. So – or I mean 5 hours. And so, like, that's, you know, that's what it is. But – they're struggling. Well, of course they're struggling. They don't have enough reps, and they don't have enough perfect reps. We're making them do it under pressure, which means they're going to be imperfect reps, and they're not even going to get it done right. So in essence, that is only training. We're only teaching them what they need to do, what they need to change, what they need to improve on. The practice then comes on their part to do this on their own time and get those good reps in, thousands of them. So remember, as you're learning something new, you need thousands of new reps, of perfect reps. Not imperfect under pressure reps. you need perfect reps. In most classes, you're going to be doing things under pressure. You're not even getting perfect reps. It's hot. It's cold. There's lots of people. You're on time crunch. You know, you only get to work on this skill set for a couple hours or whatever. You know, that's just training. There's a very big difference between training and practice. We've had a whole show on that, so go back and listen to it if you want. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. Our topic for today, step one, don't be scared. I could just do a whole show on that, but in this particular don't be scared, we're going to deal with how to choose the right shooting competition and get started in competition. This is a question that we get a lot in training, and I've gotten several times in the last few months as we've talked about, you know, different competition shooting and stuff like that on the show. I've gotten it several times in the last few months from listeners on the show going, well, I don't really know where to start. I'm scared and yada, yada, yada.
My personal opinion, I think that it's good to get involved in your local shooting competitions to start off, mm-hmm. just so you can see. Just for my – that's what we did with me was we just went down to the local Tuesday Night Steel when COVID was going on. So there wasn't a whole lot of people, which mm-hmm. was to my advantage because I was also scared. But it depends also on what you're looking for, what type of competition, if you're rifle, carbine, or if you're looking for a handgun. But just to even get your feet wet, just going into a competition, I did pistol, even though my pistol work is not my strongest work. But it still helped me remember some of the things that were taught. So I think that's my personal opinion.
Here's generally what I tell students when they're interested in getting involved in competition. Step one, don't be scared. That's literally it. Don't be scared. Go do it.
Yeah.
I think most instructors – this hold on. You guys are – get ready. No rant. No rant. Just Glenn philosophy here, okay? Pull up a fine glass of wine. Select a book from your selection of leather-bound books and get ready for some Glenn philosophy, all right? I think most instructors won't competitively shoot because they're scared.
Yeah.
I go to a lot of competitions. I see very few instructors there. You see very few of the big name instructors out there shooting. Now, some of the big name instructors that I respect and spend time around and seek out advice from and work alongside, you'll notice, are also the ones out there shooting competition. There's those are guys out there exercising the martial skill of shooting. Some people will say, well, competition is a game. I'm not practicing for a game. I'm practicing for the boogaloo or whatever, you know. Games teach bad habits. Okay, you're right. You shouldn't play Monopoly and take from that any investment or financial advice. But it is a game. I'm not saying that you can learn financial advice from Monopoly. You shouldn't be learning tactics from a shooting competition.
Correct.
What you should be learning from a shooting competition is what part of shooting you need to improve on, like i.e. are you really slow out of the holster? Are you bad with your movement? Are you bad at distance targets? How good are you at small percentage hits? You know, recently we did an Independence Day action rifle match, and a lot of people discovered they're not so good from positions. They're not so good from shooting smaller targets at distance with their red dots. You know, they might not be that great at, you know, understanding what their holdovers ought to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You take away small lessons from what you need to then go practice and work on. You're not learning tactics from a competition. My God, I've never learned any tactics from a competition. You don't use tactics in a competition because it's a time-based event. And not that a tactical situation isn't necessarily a time-based event, but it's not a time-based event in the same context. So I'm not trying to apply good tactics. And if you're that guy and you know, offense intended, all right, that if you're that guy who says, I don't play games, you're an idiot and you probably suck at shooting. It's probably the reason you don't want to go down. You're probably scared of going down and looking poor. Now, here's the thing. You only look as bad as you let yourself look. You don't have to win. Like, I'm a professional shooting instructor. I've been doing this for 13 years. I'm pretty good. I'm sought after. I am hired all over the country. I don't win every competition I get into, even for some of the stuff that I specifically teach. I'm not going to win every precision rifle competition. I don't really win any precision rifle competitions. I'm not as good as the majority of nationally ranked shooters out there. I win a lot of pistol competitions and carbine competitions. I don't win them all. Certainly, I don't win them all. doesn't mean that what I'm teaching isn't valid, because I'm not teaching how to win competitions. If I was a competition shooting instructor and I only taught how to do well in competitions, let's say JJ Ricaza, for example, who specifically teaches, he does teach some defensive level stuff, but primarily he's teaching how to win competitions. Rob Latham, who's teaching how to win competitions. These people are teaching how to TPC up in Utah. They're teaching how to win competitions. So if their people then go shoot and they don't do well, okay, you might look at that and be like, I wonder if they're really that good after all. Now, this kind of goes back to the idea of, do you have to be a good performer to be a good coach? I don't think so. Sometimes people are much better at coaching than they are performing. Maybe they've gotten a little slower. Maybe they got an injury. Maybe that might be the reason that they're teaching in the first place, right? Why are the majority of us in tactical training still – why are we doing training and not exercising, you know, out there in uniform exercising those tactics? Because we can't for one reason or another. All right, our time of service was up. We got injured. It didn't fit our lifestyle anymore, whatever it might be, right? So now we teach. Those who cannot do, teach, right? That's what they say. So I'm not interested in – if I was going to even go take a competition shooting class, am I only going to take a competition shooting class from some guy who wins first place all the time? No. Do I want the guy to do well in competitions? Yeah, I'd like to see him in the top 10%. You know, if I was taking a competition shooting class from someone, I'd like to see the guy shoot some competitions and maybe do okay. You know, I want to have some kind of relative experience, at least that he understands how the game is played, so that he doesn't set me up for failure. I take this class and he teaches me the wrong range commands and I show up in a totally different environment. I don't want that. But most will say, quote unquote, tactical shooting instructors or self-defense type shooting instructors, they're not teaching competition shooting. So if they show up to a competition and they don't do well.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, man, we've got a couple of instructors that are on our team and a couple of instructors that I shoot with regularly in competitions that are insanely violent dudes, like crazy good at what they do in a tactical or dynamic environment, who don't do that well in competitions because they approach it from a tactician's perspective and not a go fast, you know, pull out all the stops game perspective. So do I respect them less because they're not winning? Nope. I respect them as a tactician the same as I respected them before. In fact, I respect them more because they're willing to go out and play this game. They're willing to go out and see what it is. So if you're using that as an excuse to not do competition shooting, knock it off. Stop.
Well, I also think, too, that a lot of people don't want to do it, especially if they're instructors, because then they realize that just like most of them don't do demos in class is because they're not great at shooting. So they just don't practice what they preach.
Well, and some of them also are worried that it somehow invalidates. Like, here's a spoiler alert for all of you, all right? Sometimes I miss, all right? It doesn't happen a lot, I'll admit. I'm pretty good at my craft, all right? But I do miss. And I don't mean like, you know, generally. I miss all the fucking time generally when I'm just fucking around. But I mean like if I'm doing a competition, if I'm doing a demo in front of students, if I'm really dialed into what I'm doing right now, I still miss. I've blown shots in front of students doing a demo. You know what I do? I just laugh about it. I shake it off and I go, fucking happened to the best of us. And then I keep on going. Yeah. If I dwell on that, then that's a problem. Oh, it's all sun was in my eyes. And now I start making excuses. That's the worst thing you can ever do as an instructor, is make an excuse if you make a mistake. Just own the mistake, explain the mistake, fucking move on with your life, man.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in a competition. Like, go shoot the competition. Didn't do well. Well, my fucking goiter hurts. I'm dang dang. I wouldn't sleep well last night. And then I didn't have enough fucking vegetables or whatever. Like, fucking stop, man. Just own the fact that how you performed is how you performed, and then own that shit and be done with it. No, the sun wasn't really that bad in your eyes that you couldn't see your sights. And if it was, well, then fucking so be it. Who cares? Come back another day and try again.
Yeah.
Ultimately, when you are looking at, do I want to even get involved in competitions or not, the answer should be, or the question really should be, do you want to improve shooting? If you want to become a better shooter, then the answer is yes, you should get involved in shooting competitions. All right, step one. Other than don't be scared, so maybe step two. The best advice I give any student of mine that I send into a competition is this. Show up, with an unloaded gun, securely stored. Not the way you normally carry it. Show up with an unloaded gun, securely stored. Assume that's the rules of the game and the range. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything with your guns unless you are specifically told to do so. Follow all of the range commands, even if you don't agree with them or even if they aren't in how you normally do things. When I'm an RO, I don't give a fuck how you normally do things. These are the fucking rules of the range. Listen, or you get a wonderful thing called a DQ, disqualification, right? Like, that's it. That's all there is to it. Everyone has to be treated the same. So follow the rules of the range. Only do anything with your guns that you're told to do. Be safe. Follow the safety rules. And have fun.
Yeah.
Relax. And have fun shooting. Laugh about your mistakes. Talk to other shooters. Enjoy the company of the people that you're with. Some of my most cherished friends today, I met competition shooting. Or we enhanced our relationship competition shooting. So don't be afraid to get out there. Most people are afraid, oh, I'm going to be the worst shooter there. I'm going to be bottom of the list. If you think that way, I can already tell you, you're not. Trust me. You'll show up and you'll watch someone shoot and you'll be like, wow, God bless you for coming out. You know what I mean? Did you know, do you understand how this machine works here? Like, you know, there's these sight things, right? You're supposed to put them on the target and then press the trigger properly. Like, there's some people that are just god awful terrible, right? But they're still out there. Are you? You will definitely beat everybody who doesn't show up. You'll beat everybody who stayed home every time. So go out there, follow the safety rules, show up with an unloaded gun in a case that may not normally be normally how you do it. I don't care. You know how I show up to a competition? I am, you could say, experienced in both competition shooting and in shooting and in all the other stuff. And I show up with an unloaded gun in a case and I ask ROs or I ask the person I'm checking in with, how can I carry my gun here? Sometimes it's like, hey, man, bolt's got to be open, chamber flag in. Sometimes it's bolt's got to be open. Sometimes it's, hey, you got to clear it over here in the clearing station. You know, sometimes it's, you know, pistol's got to be unloaded in a holster. Pistol's got to be unloaded in a case. Whatever it is, I just listen to whatever it is they say, and then that's what I do. I don't have to agree with it. It doesn't have to fit within my personal TTPs. It doesn't matter. I play by the rules of the game. And every range and every competition is going to be a little bit different. So until told otherwise, don't do anything with your gun. Don't load your gun until the RO says load your gun, right? We're talking about range officer RO or range safety officer RSO, all right? Until they tell you to load your gun, don't load your gun. Walk stages. Try to go slow and it's hit all the targets. You want to impress me? I'll tell you how shooters impress me in a competition. No penalties. That's how I know a shooter is fucking good. We had a shooter that I respect recently attend our Independence Day Action Rifle match. First event he's ever been to with us. I've worked with him professionally in training. I highly respect this man. He's a very well-respected local police officer and instructor. He's very good at what he does. The thing I respected the most about him, you remember when he turned his card in? Mm-hmm. And I was like, bro, no penalties. And he said, is there another way to do it? That speaks to my heart because I am a no penalties guy. I love shooting competitions and getting no penalties. I don't win because I'm the fastest. I don't win because I'm the most accurate. Honestly, I win because I get no penalties. If I get a penalty, it's like, what the fuck just happened? You know what I mean? And it's usually, and by penalty, I mean like fail to neutralize a target, fail to engage a target, you know, something silly like that, you know? Because I pay attention to the rules. I go as slow as I need to make sure that I engage all the targets, find all the targets, hit all the targets properly. And I'm fast. I know how to throttle up and go. But I want to make sure I get everything. That's my goal. Because in the real world, that's what I would want. Mm-hmm. So I can still exercise those same concepts. I'm not trying to get to the end the fastest. That's not how I would necessarily do it in the real world, right? So I can still apply some of those techniques. Most common broken rules out there are breaking the 180, and that is both horizontal and vertical. Muzzles swing backwards. Muzzles go up too far. Break a 180, get disqualified. That's it. Everybody's treated the same. They don't care. Well, I was deployed to Afghanistan. This isn't how I would move in Iraq. Guess what? No one fucking cares. Nobody fucking cares. At this place, you don't break the 180. The end. We're going to tactical in our – shut up. Stop. Don't break the 180 here. That's all there is to it. And to those people, I always go, oh, so like when you're moving tactically, you don't like keeping your muzzle pointed at the enemy? That's fucking interesting. You must be alive because someone else kept you that way. I bet you're not really that fucking good at anything. Follow the rules. You want to impress me? Shoot with no penalties. I don't care if you time out and you get penalties for not engaging. Shoot with no penalties on targets you engaged. I recently had a student just finally start shooting competitions after I finally convinced him to do it. And he's doing great. And he's loving it. He's about mid-pack right now, and he's loving it. He's enjoying it. He enjoys going out, testing his gear. He's meeting some other great shooters, which is awesome because he needs that. He needs to know people other than me as a shooter. You know, and he's meeting other new shooters, and he's having fun, and he's working out his gear more, and he's better. When he comes back and trains with me, he's better because he's getting more reps in, and he's having a good time. And his goal, no penalties. First time he shot, he timed out on two stages. He was sad to tell me, man, I timed out. I go, did you get any penalties? Well, I got the penalties for the targets I didn't engage. I go, did you get any penalties for the targets you did engage? He's like, nope, shot him clean. I'm like, fucking perfect. You're killing it, bro. Now, let's find out where you need to speed up. Now let's find out why you're timing out. Why are you timing out? For him, it was just a movement thing, just efficiency of motion. We worked on a couple of efficiency of motion things, and boom, he wasn't timing out anymore. You know, he was just shaving a little bit of extra time off, and now he's not timing out. And now he's working on just generally getting on target faster. He's improving his skills as a shooter. Now that's 5% of the overall 100% of the fight, but he's still improving his skills as a shooter. And now when we go and practice and train, he's getting more out of it. He's getting more out of his time because he's gone and seen some practical application. So how do you pick what kind of competition you want? And my God, are there a lot of types. What do you like doing? That's the question you ought to ask yourself. Do you like sitting still and shooting a 22? They have a competition for that. Do you like sitting under shade at a bench and shooting a 22? They have a competition for that. They have a competition for rifle from the belly. They have a competition for rifle from shooting positions. They have a competition for rifle after you've, you know, adventured over terrain and worked on field craft skills. They have a competition for pistols standing still shooting. They have a competition for pistols running around on stages. They have a competition that's steel only. They have a competition that's paper and steel. They have a competition that's paper only. They have a competition for muzzle loading. They have a competition for long distance muzzle loading. They have a competition for long range small bore. They have a competition for long range big bore. They have extended long range competitions. They have trap shooting. They have skeet shooting. They have clay pigeon target shooting from sporting clays. They have every possible type of competition you could want. And within all of those styles, there are divisions. So within each one of those things, you may like to stand still and shoot a pistol with a red dot. You may like to stand still and shoot a pistol with a stock pistol. You may like to stand still and shoot a pistol with a revolver. Guess what? They got divisions within that competition. There are so many options. They have divisions. They have competitions that are specifically designed for carry pistols. They have competitions that are specifically designed for open type race guns. They have competitions designed for everything. And again, within each one of those matches is a division. Here's my recommendation. You want to get started? Pistol. Everybody, almost everybody, and it may be a little bit of a drive for you, but everybody probably has access to a local pistol competition. Go down to a local range, outdoor or indoor, ask them what kind of competition they hold, and I'll bet they hold some kind of pistol competition at least once a week. Take your carry gun. Run it in an approved holster. Not everyone will allow you to work appendix. Not everyone will allow you to even work concealed. You may have to get an open setup, but that's what it is for some types of matches. Work with your carry gun. Don't get any penalties. Be safe. Follow the rules. Have a good time. Meet new people. Run that match 4 or 5 times. And then see if that's your style. Do you like this? If you do, keep doing it. If you don't, try something else. See if there's another type of competition. Maybe you like it, but you're like, I want to run it with a different pistol. Okay, do that. But go there and start there. The pistols are the things most people are going to need and most people need to improve with. So start by shooting competitions with your pistol. Give yourself a metric. Don't look at the scores. Worry about how you did last week. Don't try to compare yourself to the top shooter right now. Look at how you did last week. and then do better next week, and then do better next week, and then do better next week. And if you slip a week or two, no big deal. Shit happens. Just progressively, are you moving up over time? That's what we're looking for. Are you getting better as time goes along? That's the metric you need to be using. Are you personally improving? Is your time and your accuracy personally improving as you go along? Don't go out and buy a bunch of new gear. Don't run out and get all crazy about this. Just start with what you've got. Find a local pistol competition. Go shoot it. And then see if you can improve every week. Video yourself or have someone else video you. So you can watch your movements. You can see where you're losing time. Man, when I made that movement, it took me 3 seconds to get back up on the sites. I'll still offer. I've only had maybe 10 of you or so send me videos. I'll still offer this like I've always offered this to patrons. If you're a patron of the show and you want me to give you some advice on improving your shooting, send me some videos of you shooting. It's got to be from some kind of angle that I can see you shooting. Like one of you guys sent me a video. It's basically just your backside for a whole competition. And at that point, I can assess your movement, but I can't assess your shooting as much. And in this case, that's really what the guy needed was more assessment on his movement. So it worked out okay. But like, try to send me some angles of you actually pressing a trigger, shooting, absorbing recoil, how you're holding the gun, things like that. I don't care if you're just at a range doing it or if you're in a competition doing it. You want me to assess that? Send them over. Just DM them over on the Arms Room Facebook page. I'm sorry, Instagram page, or send them to info@trainingaz.com, and I'll take a look. I'll watch the videos. I've done it for some of you already. I'm happy to do it again. If you're a patron, send me over videos of you shooting, and I'll assess as best as I can based on the information that I receive. Obviously, it's not the same as like in-person private training, but I can give you some assessment on at least what I see. It could help. Have other people do the same. Do it yourself. Go back and watch your own videos, but video yourself shooting. Where are you slacking? What's taking too much time? You know, what can you speed up physically? What do you need to, you know, settle down on? All those things are going to be highly beneficial. Your shooting will improve. I guarantee that you will improve your shooting if you get out there and you start shooting competitions. Now, another side benefit of competitions is depending on the competition you shoot, sometimes you'll win some shit. And you may be able to walk away from a competition with some new gear, maybe something that you've been needing or wanting. And so, you know, Independence Day Action Rifle match, for example, most people walked out of there with stuff worth way more than the $80 entry fee. You know, the majority of people, I'd say the average prize on the table was at least $200 to $300 for most of those prizes. And they had a upper, we had a rifle on the table, we had, you know, $1,000 optics on the table. I mean, it was definitely some really, really nice stuff there. There was also a lot of triggers and rear bags and holsters and, you know, all that kind of stuff that may have not been worth as much. But everybody walked away, for the most part, with something that was worth more than probably what they paid to get in. So there are sometimes prize tables. And for smaller local matches, like weekly stuff, there's not going to be. But for those larger competitions, there will be. So to give you guys an example of kind of how to choose, I'm going to tell you just briefly like how my process went. So I got into competitions thinking I was pretty hot shit. And I found out I wasn't. So this is what I discovered. I discovered I was really accurate and I could move really fast. But I was really, really slow on target presentations because I was moving too fast. Physically, I was just slamming to the next target, running, moving all over the place. And I started with like some basic USPSA style stuff. I found out pretty quickly I didn't really like USPSA. I didn't love the structure of the rules. So then I went to IDPA. And I shot IDPA for a little while, and I didn't really totally dig that. I liked the more realistic scenarios. The competitions were kind of more like – it's the International Defensive Pistol Association, so obviously it's going to be more defensive pistol involved. And I liked the scenarios that they did, but still wasn't like totally my bag. And then I found two-gun action matches, and that was my bag. You know, then I'm like, oh, carbine and pistol, and you're running around, and you're dragging weights and crawling through, you know, barrels and jumping over stuff and going from one gun to another. Okay, I like this. This was my style. So I did that. I also at the time started shooting trap and skeet competitions, and that was a lot of fun. I'd shot some earlier as well, and that was pretty fun, but really started getting into it at that point, and then kind of had to pick, okay, which one do I want to do more, and kind of stuck with the two-gun. From two-gun, I went into three-gun. That made sense. Three-gun adds the shotgun to the mix, and I liked the extra added work with the shotgun because it really confused a lot of people, and I know the shotgun very well. And so it was easy for me to manipulate and change loads, and I could buy myself some time over other people just by being better with the shotgun, so I liked that. From three-gun, then I started to get into adventure matches, like, you know, multi-day long, lots of hiking and field craft and all kinds of crazy stuff you might have to do, you know, like literally rucking and camping in the outdoors. And like the matches, literally, you don't come back for a couple of days as you navigate to different points and do stuff. So those types of competitions were way more interesting to me, and that's still the stuff I enjoy today. I don't find myself shooting much of the other stuff. Mostly I'm just doing it when I do them now, I'm only really doing the adventure matches. And then throughout that time, I also really discovered, you know, precision rifle matches, and that kind of stuff was interesting to me because primarily it was still very challenging. So two gun and three gun kind of started to lose their flavor because I was doing very well and it got boring. And that sounds however it sounds. Sometimes it kind of makes me sound like a dick, but that's the truth. Like I was just it's not fun for me to win. I don't give a fuck. What I care about is being challenged. I want someone to make it harder for me. And so if it's not hard enough, I don't want to go. I don't want to travel across state lines to win. I don't give a shit. And I pull some prize table. I don't fucking care. I want something that's going to kick my ass. You know, I want something to look forward to. I want something that's going to challenge me. That's what I really found in the adventure matches and the precision rifle matches. I am certainly not the best precision rifle match or precision rifle shooter out there. I am very good. I am above average, but I am nowhere close to where, you know, some of these national champion dudes are. They are just next level, and they understand ballistics just on a whole new fucking way. And so I still like going to those kinds of matches because I'm still getting humbled out there. You know, I'm still going out there and working. I'm still missing targets. You know, I'm still not doing, you know, top 10, top 5 type shit. You know, it's very hard for me to get to. In two-gun, three-gun, it's like, man, if I wasn't in the top 3, something went wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. And then that was uncommon. And it was not – it lost its flavor. So precision rifle is what I really like. Adventure style matches is what I really like, you know, because those are still very challenging and there's a possibility for failure. And that possibility for failure really drives me to performance. So, you know, I like that kind of stuff a lot. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. You know, I'm shooting rifle matches and adventure matches pretty much. I'll go do a local pistol match every now and then. I'd really like to get more into that. I think Drew would like to as well. And just go back into, you know, shooting some local pistol matches. I enjoy them because they're fun. And I like to – like when I go to local pistol matches, a lot of times I'll do silly stuff like, you know, I'll take only my carry gun and only the mags that I use. So it's like I'll have like 18 rounds or whatever to get through the whole fucking course of fire. So I'll end with, you know, with my hated enemy, the penalty, because I want to see like how far can my carry gun and these mags get me, mm-hmm. You know? Sometimes I got to slow down to make every hit count. I'm like, shit, I only have enough ammo to complete this stage if I A-box only, you know? Like, if I do anything other than A-boxes, I'm going to not make it, you know? So I like doing that. I'll take, like, micro-carry guns, like, you know, take, like, a shield or something like that, you know, a little gun that I might carry from time to time. And then I'll usually just, you know, try to take as many mags as I can carry on me. But just take, like, a little gun and you're just fucking reloading your ass off. You know, you drop 8 mags per stage because they don't hold that many rounds. I'll do things like that, you know, go out with different types of pistols that I don't get a chance to shoot a lot, you know, take my CZ out or my, you know, P320 or something out that I don't really get to shoot a lot and shoot with it. You know, I'm in whatever division I'm in, I don't give a shit. And, you know, and just shoot that class because I've already ranked up to where I need to rank up. I've already accomplished what I need to accomplish there. Now I'm just literally looking at it for a challenging perspective. How can I challenge myself? You know, next I want to maybe get one of those cool revolver setups with the moon clips and everything. Those guys are crazy fast. Those guys are crazy fast on the reloads, you know, and that seems to be something that's like, wow, I'd like to challenge myself to do that. So there's a lot of opportunities that you have when you're setting up these kinds of competitions or you're going to these kinds of competitions. Primarily, it's just don't be scared. Don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Don't be afraid to miss a target. Don't be afraid to time out. You're not going to look stupid. It's like none of that. There's no one out. Competitions – here's the other factor. competitions have a relatively low douche level, especially as you start moving beyond the basic ones. Like, the biggest number of douchebags you're going to run into are going to be your local weekly, you know, competitions, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry can go out there. So it's like your local competitions are going to have your douchebag. The barrier to entry is low. They're $15. It's a 30-minute drive. It's 100 rounds. There's not a big barrier to entry there, right? You start traveling out to remote areas to compete. It's a 2-hour drive from a city center or something like that. Now you're going to see a lower douchebag level. When competitions start involving multiple days, actually, I'll say multiple guns, the douchebag level decreases even more. When it's multiple guns and multiple days, or even one gun but multiple days, douchebag level drops almost to nothing. Have most people traveling across state lines, which honestly is majority of the competitions we shoot these days. We have to cross state lines. Your douchebag level is pretty much zero. And then adventure races, zero. There is no one out there who actually wants you to fail. Everybody wants you to succeed. They just want to succeed more. That's all. But the douchebag level is zero. We go to these multi-day adventure races where you're like land navigating and you bump into some team who's just fucking hosed. They are nowhere near where they're supposed to be. They're all fucked up on whatever. Like, dude, we're going to take a couple minutes and we're going to fucking help them out. Because it's clear they're not going to beat us.
Yeah.
You know, but I want them to succeed. You know, I want to help them out. And I don't want them to, you know, get hurt certainly or get lost or unrecoverable or anything like that. And so you just find – and that's not just me. That's every team out there. They're all like that. They're all helpful. They're all good people. You know, yeah, they want to win. That's why they're out there. You know, no one who goes and does that stuff does not have a high competitive drive. And they want to win. But for the most part, they want to see you succeed too. And they certainly don't want anything bad to happen to you, because the douchebag level just isn't there. These are the kinds of guys that are more into brotherhoods, more into team, more into tribe. They're just better all-around people. So generally speaking, the more it costs to get there, the more it takes to get there. If there's a higher barrier of entry, you're pretty much going to find a zero douchebag level. So if you go to the local matches, be prepared, especially if you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a lady and you show up to a competition, tell everyone to shut the fuck up. Literally go shut the fuck up, just like that. When they come up to you, go shut the fuck up. Hey, little lady, you want shut the fuck up? Hey, you know you'd do better if shut the fuck up. That's the easiest way to get rid of them. Because otherwise,
they're just going to sit there and stare and watch you and judge you.
Every fucking moron. I was like, the first competition we went to, Drew was kind of upset with me. I was standing in the back and I was talking to this buddy of mine that I bumped into there. And Drew goes and shoots, and I'm watching her.
I had like 9 different people.
I'm watching all these dudes watch her shoot. And man, she comes off the line. I'm like, I said to my buddy, I'm like, fucking watch this, you know? And she like, and they're just, hey, little lady, let me show you what's on you. You know, you did this. And she's just like, ah, just like, get the fuck away from me. And then she comes over and she's like, where were you? And I'm like, watching the fucking show, because I knew it was going to fucking happen. You know what I mean? And then after that, I hugged close to her, and then no one bothered her. But like, if you're a woman, unfortunately, if you're a woman, I could say that. Are you not even paying attention to my jokes right now? Jesus Christ, that's some of my best material right now. No, if you're a woman, unfortunately, when you go to the range, every guy thinks he's a fucking expert and thinks he knows more than you. He's not. They don't. So just literally tell them shut the fuck up. If it's unsolicited advice. It's like, imagine someone comes to your door and tries to sell you something. What would you tell them? Shut the fuck up. Leave me the fuck alone. Right? It's like that. I didn't ask for your advice. So shut the fuck up. If they're a national champion and they come up to you, it's only a man's world because women let it be that way.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is like, that's why, I mean, literally, I will never forget. I had like 5 fucking people. Well, you need to do this and this. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Thank you, fine. But it was just literally as soon as I was done. And it's like all eyes are on you if you're a woman. Or an attractive woman. Because there were some ugly women out there that they didn't give a shit about.
No one gets talked to. But if you're an ugly woman. Wow. You heard it here first, folks. The arms room does not condone or endorse the statements of Drew.
But I'm serious. There's a couple ladies that were not particularly attractive. And those men didn't care. They did care when I went up there and started shooting. And it was just – it's just annoying.
So you got – I mean, you just – you go to the competition for you. It's cool if you can meet other people. Like I said earlier, it's fun. I've met some great people there. But people are bothering you. Tell them to shut the fuck up. Tell them to leave you alone. Even sometimes with guys, people will give you unsolicited advice. Hey, you know, man, if you did this, and I go, really? I'm looking at your name on the on the lists here, and it looks like you're 49th out of 50. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, You don't get to give me any advice. So maybe that's it, ladies. Just go like, oh, really? That's amazing. How do you normally finish in these competitions? Are you normally top three? No? Shut the fuck up. Like, what do you have to offer me? You think just because you have a penis that you get to fucking tell me what to do? Yeah. Super bother. All you can tell, I'm fucking annoyed about that kind of shit. The problem is that
most— As you hung me out for the wolves to dry.
Because you had to experience that shit. You hadn't experienced it before. I had to let you experience it. It's frustrating to me because we see that kind of stuff all the time in the training world too. You know, it's women come to us and they're ruined because some idiot boyfriend, cousin, brother, you know— dad, whatever, was like, oh, shoot this gun, and he didn't know, and then so she shot it, she got hurt, she didn't like it, and then he's like, oh, you can't shoot that because you're a woman. Oh my god. Anyway, it's not too much of a sidetrack there. That almost turned into a rant.
Almost.
Yeah, there are very strong women in the shooting sport, and I hope that they continue doing that. And then there's stupid gun bunny sluts that I hope get hit by cars. They just do nothing but drag our sport down. Guys are like, we talk about, man, I like to look at them. Well, you don't know how to find tits and ass anywhere else. You have to, it has to be with a gun for you to be like, come on, dude. Is it that hard for you really out there in the world? You can't get your own?
Gun bunnies disappearing, though?
Ever since they changed the metrics in social media and a lot of companies started realizing that that wasn't really beneficial, a lot of them are going away and they're not as popular. But, you know, you still see them out there. It's a shame. But whatever. That's all they have to offer, I guess.
I guess.
You know, is their looks. And sometimes some of the gun bunnies, I'm like, man, these chicks are like not very fucking attractive.
Some of them are pretty fucking ugly. Like they have a nice body, but when it comes through the face, you're like, holy Jesus Christ, what the fuck happened to you?
That's what you call the butterface, baby. You don't know about the butterface?
No.
Everything looks good, butterface. You never heard that?
No.
Butterface? Oh, man. I'm teaching you shit. All right. Step one, competition. Step Don't one. Be scared. Go out and shoot. Go out and shoot and then send us a note and tell us how you did. Not how you did compared to everyone else. How'd you do? Feel good about yourself? Did you struggle with a piece of equipment? What did you learn? How are you going to improve now? What are you going to practice? I love to hear that kind of stuff. And I'll help you. I'll help you as much as I possibly can. Send me videos, you know, ask for advice, man. It's what I do professionally. I fucking love it. I want you to have fun. I want you to shoot. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to go out and enjoy the sports. Plus, guys, the more we do them, the more we continue to show that that part of the industry is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
My last piece of advice on shooting competitions is take a kid with you. If you got a kid that's interested in shooting competition, get them out there. Get them out there and get them shooting competition with you.
Yep.
Take them out and have them observe and then get them involved. 1,001 competitions for kids just as much as there are for adults. And most of the adult competitions will welcome kids.
Mm-hmm.
Get your kids involved.
Encourage it.
We need it. Get your kid off their fucking Xbox, Nintendo thing and get them out shooting more as much as possible. Independence training moment. What did Glenn and Drew do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? We're setting an ethos for our people. So we're in the process of, you know, kind of finalizing like a, you could say like a real short, compressed ethics-based ethos for our family so that when people are making decisions, they can in the place of them having to make a decision on the spot, they can just go, oh, what would the ethos do? It's how we do stuff in independence training. I was thinking a lot about this, talking with a friend of mine about it recently, and I'm just like, man, you know, we have these rules and ideas and concepts and techniques and whatever for our kids and our family, but do we really just have like a solid ethos? Like you're a member of this tribe and this tribe does this. For independence training, for example, it's confidence, self-reliance, and American spirit. That's our whole ethos right there. That's it. Everything we do is to inspire confidence, enhance self-reliance, and reignite the American spirit. That's all we care about. If a class doesn't do those things, we don't teach it. It's easy for us to make business decisions because if it follows along with that, does it improve people's confidence? Does it enhance people's self-reliance? Does it reignite the American spirit? Then we do it. If it doesn't do those things, then we don't do it. Is it just money-based? We don't do things that are just money-based. We don't do that. Some people do. That's fine. Good for them. We don't, because it doesn't improve confidence always, enhance self-reliance always, and reignite American spirit always. If we can make money doing it and it does those three things, then we do it, because I like to sleep at night and yeah. I like to have a clear conscience. So because of that, that's how we base all of our decisions. That's what we're working on with our family, really having a short, compressed list. That's what we did. Independence Training Moment brought to you by IndependenceTraining.com or TrainingAZ.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you wherever you are. We will make it work. Let us know if you're interested in bringing us out to your area. info@TrainingAZ.com. You host and get our minimum required number of people. You train for free. Shoot us an email. We'll give you more details. We'll also do a free Stop the Bleed or security training in your area for you, for a school, for a church, or another nonprofit organization. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, MRC Phoenix, and Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale. Remember that Mondays are the MRC Phoenix run at Chupacabra Tap Room in Mesa at 6 p.m. I'm sorry, no?
Mondays
at 7.
7.
7 p.m. Right? 7 p.m. Wednesdays, are we, what are you doing, 6:30 still?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
All right. Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. at Dad's Cocktails in Scottsdale. Both places are awesome breweries that have their own drinks and amazing atmosphere. Both places are places you don't even have to come and run. We have walkers. We have people who mad dash Boston Marathon style run. And we have people who just trot along. And we have people who walk. And we have people who walk run. We even have a gal who rollerblades. So whatever it is you want to do, you are welcome to do it and then hang out with us afterwards. Have some beers. Have some fun. You want to get in better shape, or maybe you just want to maintain a little bit, or you just want to have some fun, get out of the house for a minute. Mondays and Wednesdays, MRC Phoenix runs. Hopefully we'll see you there. We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Remember to check out all the other great services that the Heroes Media Group has to offer. Next week, we're going to be doing a kit dump on personal survival kits. What would we put in a compact, practically carried personal survival kit? Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.